Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rana here with some fabulous news. Tickets are now on sale at AskRanaLive.com for our second annual Live from the Carriage House Lonely Hearts Edition. We can't wait to spend Valentine's with you. The event will be Saturday, February 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is in Australia, and we have so much fun stuff planned. We can't wait. So send us your questions, comments, etc. at askrana@gmail.com so that we have them for the special and for our Patreons, pardon me, our CHIPs, of course, have to get something a little extra. We have a fabulous private viewing suite for all of our CHIPs. If they want to join, go to patreon.com/askrana and all the details are there on how to sign up so you can watch with the other CHIPs in a special, excuse me, super exclusive viewing suite. All right, dears, we absolutely cannot wait. AskRanaLive.com. Ah, and I nearly forgot. You can also sign up for an exclusive meet and greet with Rana and Brian this year. We're not doing an either or. So AskRanaLive.com. We absolutely cannot wait.
For those of you who don't know, when I'm about to hit my button.
I know, Rana. It throws me off too.
That hits my button. Okay.
Okay. He's pushing your buttons. That's what it is.
That's exactly right. He pushes the button, then it pushes my buttons, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either. For those of you who don't know, on Zoom, a little lady comes on after someone presses Zoom record, and she says "recording in progress," so that everyone knows.
We don't know how little she is.
In my head, she's kind of little.
Like a little pocket, like a cuckoo clock.
Sort of, but like small but mighty.
Okay.
Yeah, like a cuckoo clock. Yeah, like a little figurine.
Boop, boop, recording. And then she goes back into her little world. Yeah.
It's like she, in Toy Story, she'd be a really old school toy that only talks like that and says that. And they're like, oh, she's from like the 1940s.
Yeah. She's an old toy of, you know, all those children's toys of phone operators. She's one of those.
Rana, how are you?
I'm okay. You know, I was only okay. And then my mood was completely lifted this morning because
When I came on?
No, that too. Wait, yes, yes.
Thank you, Rana. Thank you.
Dear Emma, or Emmer, as you know her.
Emma Erdbrink. Emma Erdbrink.
Posted this morning about her brother, Michael.
Wonderful.
Who is absolutely a complete delight. Whenever she posts about her brother, I get so excited because he's so sweet. You can see it brimming out of his smile.
Totally.
Her brother, Michael, is a special.
And I can't think of a better sister than Emma, by the way. Oh, even just in my fantasy, she's got it together.
Yeah.
She knows which direction to push you in, you know?
She's if she's anything of like a sister as she is on this podcast, you couldn't ask for a better person. Emma is the person that edits our podcasts together, makes them sound terrific, and gets them out the door, and she's fabulous.
She's like human lightning.
We share custody of her with the Doughboys.
We do.
And about 37,000 other people.
But we don't talk about them.
Her brother is a Special Olympian.
Yes.
And I mean that. He has been doing it since he was 10. He's 32 years old.
Unbelievable.
And every year, he's part of the Special Olympics of New Hampshire. That's where they hail from.
Sure.
Though they're in Maine for the COVID quarantine. And she and her boyfriend, pardon me, moved to Maine to be with her brother because she knew that he wasn't going to be able to go to any of his programs and whatnot during the COVID. So anyway, every winter he does a polar plunge. Okay.
Love this.
You know, like a polar bear club.
Sure, sure.
And this year they decided they're going to do it with him. And so what they're asking, because people can't gather, they're asking people to do their polar plunge wherever they are.
Got it.
So they're going to do it in Kennebunkport, Maine, pardon me, right into the
excuse
ocean.
Excuse me, Bush.
Yeah, forget about it.
George Bush. Well, he's dead now. Barbara's dead too. They're all dead. Everyone died.
Well, not George W. Bush.
That's true. But
you know,
he's not
it's
in
funny, I was, saw a glimpse of a clip of the Today Show today, and if Jenna Hager doesn't have her father's face, I don't know
she
whose
does.
Face she has.
She absolutely does. Yeah. And Barbara looks nothing like him. But Jenna Bush looks exactly like
she's
her
father. She's a total Bush, yeah.
Totally.
Anyway, if they go to Emma Tree, okay, that's her Instagram, and they can get it off of our, we'll put a link up on our link tree. But
T-R-E-E, or like how Joe Giudice used to call Teresa, Tree. Hey, Tree.
As in an actual tree, not a tree, not Teresa.
Okay.
If they go to @EmmaTree, they'll be able to donate from there. But the link is fundraising.sonh, that's Special Olympics New Hampshire.
Okay.
.org/fundraisers/Camp Chula, C-H-U-L-A.
Cute.
And they can donate and support the Special Olympics. They're going to do a video and it's going to be fabulous. And I'm just so proud of her and proud of him.
Doesn't
you've
Chula
never seen
mean
a
cute?
Smile like this guy. He lights up the whole place. He totally changed my mood today.
I love it.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, people on this show know how to come through for other people. Excuse me. I saw Phoebe Cookies.
The cookie-o-meter is out of control.
She basically blasted off to the stratosphere with these numbers.
What
the
is
numbers
she
look good,
right
Ronna.
Now.
The numbers look good.
How do the numbers look? How do the numbers look, Brian?
Yeah.
Do a little
great,
quick math. Tell me how
she did like
look.
1,000. I mean, she was like, her goal was like 200, and I think she ended up going well past that, almost to like 1,000.
Why are you acting like it's over? You're acting like it's
not.
Over. It's not over yet. She has to donate cookies. She has to deliver her cookies in March so people can still buy them. And I should have said, sorry, Michael's doing his polar plunge in February. So people have to get on that right now.
Sure.
The other thing I want to talk about is what people really need to sign up for. Oh, pardon me. They can go to Ask Ron Alive. We're doing our Lonely Hearts Carriage House Club again this year. It's our second annual. I can't wait. I truly cannot wait.
It's official. We're in love with the audience and with each other. So please come join us.
It's going to be wonderful. People had such a good time. And we're going to be doing our meet and greets again this year. If I'm not mistaken, I think we're meeting and greeting together this year.
Oh, because you guys felt sorry for me?
People felt a little sorry for you. So they decided to totally adjust the technology so that you would have as
last
many meet and greets as I did.
Ronna had about 4,000 meet and greets. And I had, I think, maybe 7.
Well, Brian didn't mind because he was in his PJs and eating bonbons by 9:15. And
it's
I
true,
was
just
working
clawing my arms, so nervous.
Night. Yes, like one of Santa's helpers. And I still had to split the money with him. So I don't know what to say about it.
That is true.
So anyway, please
ask
go to
AskRonAlive.com.
It's going to be February 12th. February 13th is the Super Bowl, so we couldn't do it that night unless we wanted to do counter programming, and that was just a little too much for me.
Sure.
So February 12th, we hope you'll join us. We cannot wait. We're going to have games, prizes, this, that. It's going to be fabulous, and we absolutely can't wait. More details to follow, and of course, all over Instagram. And there may even be a very special thing for the Patreons, which my understanding, I'm going to say it, and they can cut it out if it's not true.
Oh my gosh, Ronna.
This new company that we're doing it with, which is why it took us a little time to announce it because we had to make sure everything was totally, totally on the up and up. Don't worry. It's not Kamara Lee Simmons' husband has nothing to do with it.
Zero.
Yeah. You know, he got in trouble for currency speculating in Malaysia or something like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Boy, she knows how to pick them.
She does. Well, they can all afford her, you know, that's quite a closet.
That's true.
But in any event, my understanding is we can put together a breakout room. It's a view. You know what? I'm going to get this all wrong.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to get it wrong and we're going to cut it.
Yeah.
You can now, with this new technology, you can watch with other people.
Trey,
you understand?
Cool. Yes. You can have like a watch party.
You can have a watch party.
Yeah.
And so for the Patreons, we're going to let them have their own watch party.
I love this.
I'm going to cut this.
Because by the way, that's a big, by the way, because that's family in the Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know whether I said what I said was true, but I'll put it in the top of the show explaining it correctly. So listen to me. We have such a fabulous guest today.
He's a real innovator, Rana.
Huge fan of the show.
Is that true?
Not only that, you want to talk about a Patreon. You want to talk about a self-starter. This guy is out of control.
He really is. And this guy is like hip to the tricks.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Just that he has this like ear on the ground of the shake 'em ups.
Uh-huh.
It's like he's like.
He's a disruptor.
Yeah. He's swinging that hula hoop all over town.
I think what you're trying to say is he is an innovator. He comes up
with
his own stuff. Yes. And he keeps it. He's always got another idea. He's a real idea guy.
He is.
To the degree that, in fact, my understanding is he now has a movie, pardon me.
Oh,
starring your dear friend, Augie.
I know. Rana.
We've never had Augie or Jeffrey on here, I noticed.
No, we haven't. We need to get them on.
What have they got against us?
They can't fucking stand us. Rana, I just want to say that any innovation or any idea he comes up with on this show is technically ours.
Absolutely no question about it.
Okay, because like I'm not going to deal with any sort of like dispute about that.
No, we can't.
We own everything that happens.
Anything
here.
Happens on this show, somebody announces their own TV special, their own movie, we get a piece of it.
He better not talk about his work, or actually he should talk about his work.
Yeah, I hope he does so we get a piece of it.
You look gorgeous today, Rana.
Do you think so? I look a little gray or a little
No,
blue.
I do. I look very drawn.
But I think you look warm and cozy. You look nice. You have a nice yellowy, rosy pink tone to you. You look fabulous. I think I'm like the witch from Narnia.
I'm in like the kitchenette today. By the way, this isn't even the kitchen in the carriage house. This is like the office.
That looks
kitchen.
A little bit like the lobsterman's boat to me. I'm not going to, you know, I asked you before we got online where you were, and you told me in the kitchen, and I said, that's not a view I'm familiar with.
I am on the boat.
That looks a little bit like a boat to me, or maybe an apartment in Winthrop. I don't really know what, or a two-family house. I don't really know what I'm looking at.
It was a wild night, Rana. I mean—
Okay, that's plenty.
I don't even know how many.
Don't bother.
It's unbelievable.
You don't
what
have
things
to.
Can become.
You don't have
when
to.
You really
you don't have to feel.
Tease into them.
You have your life is your own. Your private life is your own. Do not feel you have to.
And some people stay wetter than others. It's
just
unbelievable to me, the human body.
Don't feel that you have to. Do not feel. Oh, there was a woman involved?
No. This was sort of like, you know, basically. When you use lube, I think sometimes some people
absorb it more than others.
Yes, I do.
Great to know.
I do. Yeah. And he caught a fish and we ate it.
I thought you were talking about a juicy tush is what I thought you were talking
that's,
about.
Yeah, that's sort of what I am talking about. Yeah.
And he caught a fish and we ate it.
We did.
All right, dear. Look, Adam Tots is here today. Adam Ellis. I can't wait to meet him in the flesh. Let's bring
so
him in, Dante.
Let's do it.
Now, wait a minute.
Rana, this is amazing.
Yeah. On this show, we often talk about people turning lemons into lemonade.
Yeah.
Or lemonade into lemons. Is that what we usually say?
Everyone's trying to make great situations even worse.
This is the classic lemonades into lemon.
Yeah.
No, for real. Now, I don't know. Have you been on this Instagram account? This is pretty fantastic.
Well, only recently I have. And it honestly, it makes me feel less afraid. It makes me feel less nervous about approaching stuff like this.
That is such a good point. This to me is the ultimate version of take something you love, figure it out, turn it into something else you love too. Meaning, not everything in life is a straight path. And sometimes you get there going all the way around, and it truly is about the journey. What am I talking about? That's the question.
There we go.
I am talking about Danielle, aka the Jealous Curator.
The Jealous Curator.
Danielle Crissa, first of all, was an art student. She loved art. She had a professor. He told her, you know, if I were you, I'd consider not painting again.
You can't paint. Never paint again, is what he told her.
And she took it to heart. And there she was, stuck, trying to figure out what to do with such a passion and a love for art. And her husband said to her, why don't you put it together on an Instagram and start curating for other people? And that is how the Jealous Curator was born. Pardon me.
He literally said, why don't you take your jealousy, say it out loud, and turn it into admiration?
Because it's toxic to hold it in.
For sure. So maybe she felt like she couldn't paint or didn't want to or whatever, but she took that and created a blog that would make people admire it and be informed more about art and feel more of a participant.
And she's got, I don't know how many followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, which is so terrific.
She's got 6 books. Totally.
Celebrating art in the everyday. She's written 6 books since 2019, pardon me.
Yep.
The first one was called Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk.
Sure.
Which is hysterical.
She has another one called A Big Important Art Book, Now with Women.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But all of this to say that she has a fabulous email subscription that you can sign up for. It's called the No Such Thing as Too Much Art Society.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daily newsletter filled to the brim with contemporary art. Not, there is absolutely no, as she put it, snobby art world jargon included.
Wonderful.
It is accessible art for everyone.
Listen, Rana, in a time when we are constantly bombarded with bad news about this variant, that variant, politics, insane. Are we going to war with about 7 places right now? All of this. This newsletter is a bright spot. It delivers beauty and inspiration directly to your inbox. And guess what, Rana?
I'm embarrassed to tell people.
I know you
it's
don't like this.
It's only $3 a month.
Rana,
you get an email
like
every day for $3 a month. As she put it, that's like one mediocre latte a month in exchange for so much art. So follow Danielle at The Jealous Curator on Instagram and sign up for her newsletter at thejealouscurator.com.
And guess what the wonderful ending of this story is, Rana? She's now showing her own art worldwide.
So
professor
that
can
guy,
suck it.
That can, guy can go screw.
Go
as
screw.
I like to say.
Go scratch. Eat dirt.
Go scratch. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. I feel like getting right into it. I'm going to be honest.
Let's just do it.
I already have a lot to say and we haven't even introduced ourselves. My first question I want to know is if you walk around all day straightening things up all the time, are you always putting your pencils in the right place and making sure your pillows are in the perfect place?
And
that your eyebrows are perfect and that your beard is perfect.
You do look great.
That's the most perfect Zoom background I've ever seen.
I did straighten up before this, but I'm actually the opposite. My workspace is a total mess.
Get out of here.
No, yeah. If I could turn the camera around, you'd be horrified at what you'd see.
I don't believe it
for
a
second. Well, what you curated for us today looks amazing.
Adam, dear, where are you, in Chicago?
No, I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, you're in Brooklyn. Why do I think you have a Chicago connection?
I don't know. I've never
because
been
he
to
wrote
Chicago.
That song, The Chicago Connection. Remember that song?
It's true.
That's you're right. That's one of my favorites. We had it all in the Windy City.
It was beautiful.
You're in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Where in Brooklyn
darling,
are you?
Right now I'm in like Fort Greene.
Oh, sure.
Very nice. I actually just applied for a new apartment in Dumbo.
Oh, great. Wow.
Which I'm hoping there's sort of a bidding war happening for it, which is a
that sort sounds of a scary like it it befits a film a filmmaker, a man who's moving into the film space, pardon me.
A little bit. Yeah, I do have there is a movie coming out this year.
Excuse me.
We're well aware.
I'm not super involved in it, which is probably for the best.
Even better. Just collect that check.
You know Jeffrey Self, right?
Yeah, Augie's
yes, but
in it,
our
isn't
dear
he?
Friend okay. Augustus Prue is in your
yeah,
film.
Yeah, he's Augustus Prue. His husband is playing me in the movie, which is a weird connection to have.
That is exciting, though, to have someone like I can't even imagine what that would be like to have someone actually playing you. But
how
you
we,
got the right
how
guy.
Do we find
Augie
out
is
if
a fantastic
Jeffrey,
actor.
How do we find out if Jeffrey is attracted to Adam in addition to being attracted to Augie?
Oh my God!
Text him.
That's a quick text.
Yeah, it's all very incestuous.
We love Jeffrey and we love Augie. We were just talking about that, and Augie Padme's in Lord of the Rings. I hate to tell you. In addition, to
he
this.
Is.
He is. I went to set for a couple days and. He's great. He's like super charming.
Delightful human being. So when tell they, us when what he was happened. Filling- it was like a thread, a ghost story thread.
Oh yeah, yeah. Give us the scoop.
It was, I mean, it was very strange. My main thing is like, I'm a comic artist. That's what I do.
Excuse me. You're a very successful comic artist. How many Patreons do you have right now?
About 30,000.
30.
My God.
Brian, think about that.
Rana,
just
I
stop
am.
And do that quick math.
I don't understand. Could you do a little video that says, like, if you like comics, you'll love, if you like comic strips, you're going to love Ask Rana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then send them over to the Patreon.
He
and by
did,
the way,
know,
Adam,
Adam
I think
did do yeah. a Chilly Witch, but he's never done us together. He's never drawn us together. He's only done a Chilly Witch. Maybe that's he true. Could do a crossover comic because one of the things he does is he you get a comic on his Patreon, isn't that right, Adam?
Sort of. Yeah, my Patreon is it's like sort of exclusive comics that I don't always put on Instagram.
Yeah. So he could do an exclusive Rana and Brian and Adam comic.
That would
I'd be happy to.
It would be a crossover. The only problem Absolutely. With that is he'd have to do the work, which isn't really fair to ask people to do. So wait a second. You
oh,
were
no,
doing
he doesn't
on
mind.
Twitter a thread.
I don't mind. Yeah. yeah. So the movie, this was a few years ago in a previous apartment, but it was haunted. And I did a whole Twitter thread about it that went viral and led to a movie. It took a few years to get to this point, but
I need to understand if you believed in ghosts before or not. And
that's
I need
my
to,
question.
And I need
because I remember this
yeah,
thread
that's
very
my first
well.
Question. Yeah,
right. I was always open to the possibility of ghosts. So I guess I was a little on the fence beforehand.
And when the ghost first appeared to you, how did it happen? And did you try to talk yourself out of it?
Kind of. It started as dreams, sort of, and escalated from there. And I never really thought about talking myself out of it because it went so viral on Twitter. I felt like there was a part of me that wanted it to sort of keep going forever. And then we had to move out of that apartment because they were going to renovate it and sell it. So,
and what the ghost was a small child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little. It was a small.
I mean, that's
so
much scarier.
Give us as much of a. Give us a little tiny recap, if you're willing to. I know you've sold a film, and we don't want to spoil the ending.
Oh, I actually don't know the ending. The scriptwriter sent me the whole script, and I didn't read to the end because I kind of want to be surprised about what they do with the source material because it's not completely like a beat for beat. Happening of what happened.
Sure.
It's definitely an adaptation.
Right, like the ghost didn't give you a massage or something they might put in the movie.
Well,
like
he was a small child, so that probably would have been
a child can give massages. That's not sexual.
Yeah, but how old was he as a ghost? I mean, he'd
say I don't know. He was maybe like five or six. I think they're aging him up in the movie because
tell us what happened with the ghost, Adam. I'm not going to ask again.
I moved out of the apartment before anything. I mean, before he killed me, but he was
mean.
You know, doing weird things. He was moving things around, doing things with the electricity. It went on for like a year. So it's.
Now, did you ever speak to anyone that lived in the apartment before you or after you?
No,
Did the landlord sort of shrug when you mentioned possibly that the apartment was haunted?
Yeah. I mean, all of my friends unfollowed me on Twitter because they got annoyed with my constant updates about
it. Did you see any gravestones in the apartment? Because that might have been.
No, I didn't.
Did the child have a message for anyone in this world that it wanted you to convey?
No, he didn't, unfortunately. Or if he.
What was the first sign of the child? Like, what was your first thing that you were like, this is a ghost?
Gosh, I don't know. He did look dead. So I assumed that he was a ghost.
What do you mean he looked?
Wait, you saw him?
In dreams, yeah.
But not in person.
Not in person. I never saw him in person, which is probably for the best.
He would appear to you in your dreams, and then he would move things around the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You sold this?
I did, somehow. Somehow there were a lot of people interested in it. It's a lot more interesting
on
Twitter. It's
You should read the thread. I remember this thread very well, and it was completely compelling. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm not selling it too well, but I already sold the movie.
You know what? You don't need to. You've got 30,000 people ready to buy anything you've got, you know?
What percentage of people in your life believe you and don't believe you about the ghost?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, probably more people don't believe me than do believe me.
You want to know something?
Were you surprised at anyone that didn't or did?
No, most people were not super interested in it in my life. Like I said, most people either muted me on Twitter or unfollowed me because they got sick of it pretty quickly.
All right. Here's my next burning question.
I'm going to tell you something. I fully believe you, and I'm not even necessarily a ghost person, but I am open to it. And I fully 100% believe you. And if it were up to me, I'd have a business called Shaky Tables and you would haunt I would hire people to haunt people's homes and like shake their tables up.
I would invest in that company.
Thank you. And I know you've got the dough, baby.
I do. It's burning a hole in my pocket. I don't know what to do with it.
Shaky tables, here it comes. My next question is whether or not you're still using the Balmuda toaster and how you felt about your purchase.
Oh my God. I use it every single day. I go to my coffee shop and I ask them not to heat up my breakfast because I want to bring it home and heat it up myself.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I buy anything.
I've
that
heard
Rana
so many tales about this toaster.
Uh-huh. Adam is
really
people don't understand. Adam is a true fan and a lover of Ronica.
I am so flattered.
And who's your friend? You have a gal pal that listens.
I
to
do. Him. My best friend Kristen actually worked for Brian.
Kristen Rossi?
Yeah.
I love her. Love her. She also uses Le Pen, my favorite pen.
Never heard you mention her.
Kristen Rossi?
She did like graphics and social stuff for
with Sean
Burpee,
she would. And she just, I just said that I recently, I don't know if you saw, but I did break the news that Le Pen is my favorite pen to use on a daily basis.
Sure.
She DM'd me.
I did not see that you broke the news, but it's been my pen for at least 30 years.
It's the best. So she DM'd me and said, it's my favorite pen too.
She's great. I
prefer a Pilot, I'll be honest with you, but I do like a Le Pen for the right occasion. If I'm writing in my Claire Fontaine notebook, I like a Le Pen.
Okay, that's good.
Adam knows what that means. He's the king of pens and pencils and stationery. How many pencils
And he is Claire Fontaine by night.
That's his Marvel character.
Yeah, the Balmuda toaster is great. It was a great purchase.
I remember this from that list.
Like I said, I buy anything that Rana
mentions. You didn't like that you bought off the Ronica list. Let's just get into it. We can always edit it out. I'm not taking complaints.
I kind of trust you guys implicitly. Rana says to buy a Rimowa suitcase. I buy two. literally anything she mentions, I have to pause the podcast and go buy it.
Now the thing,
well, good for her and good for you. I'm so glad you like her so much.
Adam suggested to me, and I haven't bought it yet, and I want you to explain it to people, is the Japanese chi zen machine. I want you to tell people about this.
The one that shakes your legs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it that was a TikTok I saw. Someone's mom had been using it for decades, and I have no self-control when it comes to buying things online. So I bought it and I like it. I don't know if it's doing anything for me, but
what's it supposed to do?
It's supposed to it's good for blood flow, I think. Mm-hmm. You lay down and you put your legs in it and it just rapidly shakes your legs back.
Oh, it's like a vibrating thing.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be good for blood flow and it loosens your spine
and recovery and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's not compression boots, which were on my Ronica list this year.
No.
Yeah.
No. Dia. You're here today because people have written to us and they're desperate, as you know.
Desperate. Mm-hmm. Desperate.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through a couple of questions here. And we're going to give our honest answers. As you know, all we do is answer what we think. We're usually right. Why wouldn't we be? And if people have written in, they can either take our advice. They either want their life to improve or they don't. That's really up to them. So they can either take our advice or not. And then at the end.
I just want to say, please, Rana. Please.
No, please.
Right after you. No. No, because mine had nothing to do with whatever you were talking about.
Well, so I was talking about our show, if you've heard of it. Yeah.
No, yeah, I have. I love it.
You're a listener.
I'm a listener. All I was going to say, please, Rana, you finish, because this really
I'm
is a change
Brian.
Of
Brian. I finished.
Is anyone watching? And Rana, I know we've already discussed this on the Patreon. Is anyone watching Romova season 2 on Netflix?
You mean Emily in Paris season 2? About Julianne having a Romova campaign?
It's only about Romova. The entire second season's about Romova.
Is it really? I haven't seen
all of it.
Yes.
They must be.
And Rana and I are going to cover
hard
up
on their they're like promotion. They got Rihanna to do a thing.
They always have a real brand that they're working with. I don't know how it works. I'd love to know. I'm sure Adweek wrote some sort of absolutely electrifying article about how it works. But it's all about whether they can get Pierre Cardot. Is that his name? Jean Cardot is going to have his terrible face all over a suitcase. And the idea ran out after about a minute, but they just kept going with it.
Oh, but they're not stopping. They never do.
No.
Why let a good thing die when you can beat it to death?
Romova feels, I know it's like a big luxury brand, but it feels a little bit secret. I don't.
Well, and also I think it's probably a secret to younger people. So I'm guessing that's why Romova wanted it on season 2.
That makes sense.
They just want to sell suitcases like everybody else. And also, they sold out. That company sold to another company. So now they're part of a big luxury group, and they didn't used to be. And so now their idea of what they should be doing is a little different. But I will tell you, I do have my eye on a limited edition Dior Romova bag in-flight suitcase that they've done. So
J'adore.
I'd be lying if then they had the Dior Scooter, which Brian probably didn't get to that yet. But anyway. So glad we had this conversation. Speaking of Emily in Paris, Brian.
Yeah.
I would like you to read our first question.
Oh my gosh, Rana, what a transition. That's perfect. Okay.
What a segue. Not the scooter.
Here we go. This is going to be great. I can't believe, Rana, you are seamless. Dear Ron and Brian, Adam, I'm going to include you in this. I've taken a lover. He's French. Very French. He's sexy. He's sweet. And he appears to adore me. The feeling is mutual. We mostly speak in French together. His English isn't great. And my French is good enough to get by. We joke that there's about 20% of what we say to one another that neither of us understands. Mais bon, qu'est-ce qu'on fait? I don't know. She wrote French. So what's the problem?
I thought you did a little French, Brian. I guess not.
No, I mean, I do a little, can, but that's better.
I see.
So what's the problem? I'll do my best.
I don't know what that means.
Qu'est-ce qu'on fait?
Yeah.
Mais bon. So what's the problem? I'll do my best to be brief, but you know how it goes. I am a diplomat. Excuse me. I live overseas. I'm American. He's a French gendarme. Okay. Am I saying that right?
I believe you are, yes.
Okay. And we met in South Asia, where we are both currently assigned working on our respective embassies. This is so sexy. Mm-hmm. When we first met, I figured this would be a passionate love affair, short-lived, explosive, and exciting, burning bright, but then flickering out as many sultry love stories do. But as the weeks went on, we began to s'accrocher, as the French would say, get attached. A few weeks into our courtship, he casually mentioned to me at a cafe that things could never be serious between us because I wasn't French. Wow. Okay. How would it ever work, he wondered aloud. I shrugged it off. I'm used to leaving a place every 2 to 3 years and often saying goodbye to the men I've loved in places they don't want to leave. But now it's been 3 months and his tune is changing. He tells me all the time how the feelings he has for me are deep, that I've stirred something within him, and that it is not often he cares for someone in the way he does for me. He's invited me to Paris with him in the spring and talked about all the places in Europe he'd like to take me. He makes love to me like it's always the last time. Hmm. We talk every day and we spend every moment we can together. It is a true, real, deep romance. Plot twist. I am in an open relationship with another man thousands of miles away.
Ah.
And my French, uh-huh. And my French lover was seeing another what woman when we met.
What problem is that for the Frenchman? Nothing.
No, no
How
problem.
How very French
please.
Of you. Yeah.
Yeah. And my French lover was seeing another woman when we met. We talked about this and we were both increasingly uncomfortable at the thought of the other being with someone else. But the fact of the matter remains, I leave this current assignment in August and he will stay behind yet another year and then return to France. I will be off to the Southwestern Hemisphere next, thousands of miles away, dancing tango and drinking Malbec, Argentina. So is it a lost cause? Do I stop clinging to this man? Do I let it burn bright and then say goodbye once again? Do you think I'm doomed to live a lonely life in this career? Or do I try to give this thing a real shot? Tell him we could make it work and figure out a way to be together. Do I stop seeing my other partner, who I do still love, but who honestly is no longer fulfilling the needs I have for a romantic and long-term partner? Do I ask my lover to see me exclusively? This holds the record for most questions ever in a question.
Yes.
I wonder what your thoughts are about this absurd little novel I'm living over here. And finally, to you both, from a proud sauna privileges member, excuse me, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Diplomacy is often challenging and lonely work, and listening to your podcast these past few years has always made me feel truly at home. In the carriage house, curled up with my askgranacoffee.com, and spending time with my two dear friends. You have given advice that has truly touched me and changed me. I love you both. Dans la latin de votre response, Jess.
Adam, dear.
Well, first of all, your French is great, Brian.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
Do you speak no thank French, you, Adam? You.
I took French for 3 years in high school, and I don't remember a single word.
You know what's remarkable? It sounded good for me. I took it for 0 years. I didn't even ever take it, and it sounded that good. So thank you, Adam.
So is it? This is a woman.
Yeah,
this is a woman
writing in. Okay, and she said that they only understand about 20% of each other. Hmm. Right.
Well, I thought they said they understood everything except about 20%.
20% missing, I believe. Yeah.
So okay. I think they understand 80% of what the other is saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that there's probably a lot going on in that 20%, where she's filling in the blanks with her sort of fantasy scenario. She's also in a relationship that she's not happy in. And it does feel a little bit like she's leaning on this new relationship to sort of lift her out of the thing that she's not so happy in. And I think it might do her some good to maybe be on her own for a little bit and be comfortable in that and sort of keep correspondence with this guy if she wants. But it does sort of feel like she's maybe bridging a little bit into something new.
Yeah, I feel like she's also doing that thing when, like, you're deeply in love with someone and – or I want to say actually in lust and in fantasy with someone. And you build up this whole thing and you're so in love. And the wonder, the exciting thing sometimes can be like to fantasize about the tragedy of it and like how tragic it can be. And like, oh my God, like this is ripping us apart. And what are we going to do? And it's kind of like sexy to think that way.
The thing, like, so you're saying the very thing that is making it feel most alive is the fact that it has to die.
I think it's part of it, yeah. That it sort of just is the star-crossed lovers, you know, ships passing situation. And like, I was living in France and I met this man and it really could never be. You know what I mean? Like, I do think there's something romantic about it just being ill-fated.
Yes.
In a way, and mm-hmm. that adds a huge fantasy element to it.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's Jack and Rose.
Yeah,
and
I can't
never
see
really
it.
Understood this.
I can't see yeah. it ever living up to the fantasy in her head.
No. And also, yeah.
Well, no, it's if she breaks up with this guy, I feel like a week is going to go by and she's, that passion is going to dissipate quite a bit. And she's going to realize, oh, that was fun while it lasted and I have a good memory of it. Or she's going to stay. And in a week she's going to be like, oh, this is not quite what I was hoping for.
I think and don't know that the passion would dissipate if she gets everything she wants here or thinks she wants.
I think that's very astute, but I also think she's very lucky right now.
No kidding. Everything's working in her favor.
There are very few people who have the opportunity in their lifetime to have this kind of an experience. It's yeah. absolutely dependent on the fact that, I agree, it's definitely dependent on the fact that they don't totally speak the same language. So she doesn't, he's a police officer. Okay. That's what his job is. He's assigned as a police officer to the embassy. In whatever country they're in, Malaysia, I don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. And so there's probably, whatever that 20% is, could easily be his politics that he can't explain to her, that they're not having those kind of conversations. They are having a carnal affair with an occasional ice cream cone and a walk, and it's sweaty and it's hot and it is doomed. And aren't they
lucky?
What? Aren't they
You said
lucky?
Carnal affair, but yeah. You know what else would apply there to the ice cream and everything? Carnival affair.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm going to write that movie
she
about
She said
two
he
carnies.
Makes love yeah. to her every time, like it's the last time he's going to make love to her.
Yeah, come on. Hubba hubba.
What is the problem? You know what? You want to ruin this? Here's how you ruin it. Break up with your boyfriend at home.
Yes.
And see where this can go. And
get
see, I'll tell
you
where it goes.
And it
out
will
the door
ruin
as
everything.
Fast as it can. Exactly.
Yep.
If I were
live
you,
the Casablanca life right now.
I
baby.
Would keep I would keep breathing those tight breaths for the next 6 months or whatever it is until mm-hmm. August. And then it
keep
will
keep spraying the perfume on the letters you're writing him.
Exactly.
Keep clutching your letters, put them in your bra.
Yes, that's right. Keep wearing a tank top that exposes your collarbone because, you know, that's
yes.
what he likes about you or whatever it is. And yep. I mean, if you want to break up with your boyfriend at home, that's fine. I don't think you need to hang on to him. I don't think that's going
no.
anywhere. And if he yeah. wants to be released, if you have the feeling he wants to be released, release him. But all that's doing is bringing a nice external pressure. But I definitely wouldn't do the thing where you show up at the gendarme's house and say, I broke up with my boyfriend. What are we doing? Because
no.
I can tell you what we're doing is tomorrow he's busier at work and he's a little busier the day after that.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. basically then it's like a place in the sun or match point and he's going to kill you.
He might have four other girlfriends. I don't know what he's doing. I just know he's good at what he's doing.
The only way to keep the passion going is to leave and like maybe visit once a year and
yeah.
sort of,
totally.
You know, keep him on the hook all year long and being like, I can't wait until this summer when I'm in town for 48 hours.
Yep, and it's the hottest summer.
On the other hand, if this is a real love and a real thing that's developing between them, then nothing will get in the way of that. If you're moving to Argentina and you two truly want to be together, you'll find a way. He will either get an assignment there or he'll, if you're truly, truly going to build a life together.
Everything's just a flight away, basically.
All that pragmatism will come into play. But all that pragmatism is going to do now is ruin this fabulous affair that you have. This is an affair. It is an affair to remember, is what it is.
For sure.
But if it transmutates into...
And by the way, I'm jealous. It sounds amazing.
Look at the way she wrote the letter. I mean, the whole thing is just enjoy it. But I do think you don't want to be cruel to the boyfriend at home. And so it might be worth releasing him. You don't have to make a big deal about telling everybody what happened, but it might be worth releasing him. And I don't mean not telling him what happened. I mean not telling the gendarme, I broke up with my boyfriend. Here I am covered in rain, you know, for you to propose to. And for him to say he'd love to, but he has to go work out with his dog, you know. He has a canine patrol he has to go do at the airport or something.
Totally.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Enjoy this is the definition of the word ephemeral. And if it isn't, then you'll know. And you'll know by August that everybody's trying to put a little bit more effort into making this a real thing. But enjoy every ounce of this.
If she's gonna move to Argentina with this guy, then she's probably already made that decision. And you know, these things never work except the ones that do. Sometimes it works and you might be one of the lucky ones.
It's always the way the story ends. But she's moving to Argentina without him. The question is, he invited her to Paris with him this spring. But that's just, why not? Just go have sex all over Europe, okay? That's what that trip is. Congratulations.
Put that lock on that bridge.
You have won the jackpot. Go to Paris with him, find out how terrible his apartment is, and then have sex with him all over Europe, and it'll be wonderful. And then go to Argentina and have sex with everybody else there, too, until somebody stops you in your tracks and you decide it's time to settle down.
Yeah, the exciting question is always like, how can I make this work? And the sort of unexciting answer is, you can. You know?
That is so true.
It's just not as fun.
Here's how you make it. It's very easy. You sign you sign a really sexy lease together. Yeah. And you talk about who's going to pay the cable bill. And then, oh boy, watch out, because here comes something even sexier. And it's the electric bill.
Share a bathroom. Yeah. Wake up just loving that life.
Yeah. You put a cabinet together.
Exactly.
Like, Brian, that is the truest thing you ever said. The bad news is you can. That is so true. Keep us posted. That was a fun little novella to read.
I loved it. Yeah, I tell you, it got me out of my not that we're under stay at home orders, but like it was a nice COVID letter to receive.
Yeah. Must be nice.
No kidding.
Adam, has one exciting thing happened to you during the quarantine that wasn't your movie?
Oh boy. I don't think so.
Are you in a long-term relationship or no?
Yeah, I do. I live with my partner. We've been together 10 years, long time.
Have you ever painted him or drawn him?
I have not.
Like done a nude portrait or anything?
No, I haven't. I haven't done any nude studies since college.
Okay. Well, you're going to be doing that exclusive me and Brian cartoon for Patreon. So
yeah,
that's true.
Time to dust off those old brushes.
We're all
going to
be
nude
in that. So
yeah, it's going to be a charcoal of me and Brian. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been so steamy though if you had gone up to him when you first saw him and said, "I would love to paint you sometime."
Oh yeah.
Would it have been?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think the relationship
I would have run the other way.
Is he a gendarme also?
No, he's from Connecticut.
Oh, so he's
So reading that letter was a thrill for all of us.
It was out of town basically. Yeah,
it did. It was. It was like taking a little weekend away. That was fun.
It was.
Okay, I'll read the next question, but I really need to know the next chapter. But dear, enjoy. Suck the marrow
Honestly,
out of life. That
I'm
is my
so
advice
jealous.
To you. Yes. Enjoy
totally.
Every moment. I'll tell you, that's how I feel every time I go to Cleveland to see Mr. Cleveland.
What?
That's why we're not moving any closer to making this official, because I feel just how you feel in Singapore is how I feel in Cleveland.
When I take an Uber right over to the docks and get on that houseboat, I feel the same way, Rana.
Yeah. Adam, where are you from originally?
I'm from Montana.
What?
Yeah.
I sure didn't expect that.
Yeah, nobody does.
Gorgeous or scary or both?
It was pretty boring growing up, but I've been back as an adult and I've sort of reassessed and realized that it's really pretty there.
Been back as an adult? Do your family not live there anymore?
My mom lives there, but it's I'm an only child and my mom's an only child. And both of my grandparents on her side have passed now. So it's just my mom back there and she usually prefers to visit me.
Yeah.
But a couple years ago,
are you from
my
Methuselah?
Birthday, what?
Are you from Methuselah?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't there a town there called Methuselah?
I don't think so. I think you're thinking of Missoula.
Oh. I am.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm from Bozeman. I don't know if that probably doesn't mean anything.
Ring a bell. Big sky country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple years ago, I rented a lake house on Flathead Lake with some friends, and it's easily the prettiest place I've ever been. And I travel a lot. So it's really gorgeous.
That's one of those places where you A, can't believe it exists, and B, can't believe it's in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some people would say that's America. You can't believe the rest of it's America.
That's true. Yeah.
That's sure, the fantasy right. of what America is.
You're right. You're right. That's on the billboard.
How do you feel about all the rich people that are moving there and ruining the state?
I mean, I guess it's so big. There's
plenty
room for
room
a few
for
more
everybody.
People. Yeah, it's the fourth least populous state. I think there's like barely a million people there. So there's,
right?
But you're
the
kind of
state.
Famously, are you're like really into deforestation, right? From what
yeah,
I remember,
I
think I read
I'm
online.
Into fracking.
Yeah, that's
right. He needs trees for all those pencils.
That's true. Yeah,
that he draws
it's
with.
True.
Yeah, he's one of the leading deforesters in the state,
and I'm proud of it.
I knew that. Yeah, good for you,
dear Ron O'Brien, an undeniably fabulous guest.
But
that's
I believe
you,
it.
Adam. I come from a big, tight-knit Italian family. We live in close proximity to one another, see each other frequently, spend most holidays, birthdays, and other milestones together. I'm just realizing now this is a terrible question for Adam. He just
Why?
Told us he's a single child. His mother's a single child. And he doesn't have any cousins or anything else. So here
but
we
I'm
go.
But I'm still going to have opinions.
But he saw Moonstruck.
Good.
I saw Moonstruck recently. Yeah.
It's a fun movie, isn't it?
It's great. It's
so many great performances. For the most part, it's great. We generally all get along, genuinely like spending time together and support each other in every way possible. However, I've been experiencing a lot of anxiety lately over my family, specifically my sister, and would love your advice. Okay. I'm sort of the black sheep in my family in that I hate, in all caps, confrontation and fighting. You would think that being part of a large, loud, crazy Italian family would make me numb to that sort of thing, but it hasn't. I have always been pretty reserved, am a huge people pleaser, and tend to shy away from any sort of disagreement or confrontation. I know that's not always healthy, and I'm working on it. My sister, on the other hand, is the total opposite. While she and I are very close as adults, she often was the cause of a lot of chaos in my household growing up, whereas I was always very eager to please my parents and, quote, be good. She was the one who would have major meltdowns both at home and in public. She and my mom would fight constantly. And to be honest, I think all that yelling and crying and confrontation just flat out scared me as a child. Sure. Now that I am grown, it's taken on a bit of a different shape. When my family is all together, I am constantly scanning the room and trying to figure out to get in front of anything that will make her upset. I don't like that.
Oh, I get it, though.
Of course, but you can't live like that. It's a terrible feeling.
No, right.
Yeah. For example, over the holidays, my mother and brother started talking about something political that I knew my sister would find abhorrent, as did I, for that matter. Instead of letting it all play out or even giving it back to them, since I also believed they were in the wrong, I tried to insert myself and make a joke about it to try to calm the situation before things got too heated. My sister is known to sort of blow up at things that upset her, and I am terrified of the impending explosion, especially when it comes to my mom, given their history. I've asked her about this before, and she admits that sometimes she just needs to let it all out and get it out of her system, and then she is fine. Even though I know this, every time she gets upset or argues with my mom, I get the biggest pit in my stomach and just want to flee the situation. It's like I cannot handle her being upset or getting angry or cannot remove myself from her feelings. I know that family fights are normal, and I also know that my way of internalizing things is not the best way of handling arguments. What boundaries can I set so that I don't get so entangled in my sister's feelings and feel like her explosions are my explosions? How can I become more comfortable with the idea of her being upset? It always ends up fine, so I don't know why I'm scared of it. I wish I could be in a position where my sister and mom could be fighting and I could just feel removed from it, sort of like I feel when watching the housewives fight. Seeing it as just another argument that will blow over and might actually entertain versus feeling so ensnared in and affected by the drama. Thank you for any advice you have and for the endless laughs that you provide. Sincerely, the shy one. Could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, I
crickets.
Please, Adam.
So I have a really small family. But my partner has a huge family. He has three siblings. They're all married. They're all starting to have kids. And so family get-togethers, you know, I love them. I adore them. But it can be kind of draining because I grew up as an only child. So I always, if I got overwhelmed in a situation or I needed some space, I could do that. I could go do something else.
Yeah.
And what I've realized is that you... Even with these big family situations, if you leave the room for an hour, nobody's going to care and nobody's probably even going to notice.
That's true.
You just need to get comfortable leaving the situation and going to lay down for a little bit. And it's really only awkward the first time, maybe the second time, and then it's not really an issue anymore.
It's very interesting, actually, as a strategy. I want to hear what Brian has to say, because I feel like this has happened to Brian in the past.
I'm pulling up a sound effect.
Are you on hold right now with Capital One points? Is that what you are?
No, I'm trying to pull up a sound effect because I was going to play it for my answer. But I don't think...
Oh, here we go.
Okay,
I mean,
let's see.
If this show... Is. I mean, how disrespectful to everyone here.
Okay, ready? This is my... That's Scooby-Doo running. I'll play it again. Because that's exactly what I would do.
You'd get out of there.
Skedaddle.
Is that what you're saying?
Skedaddle. Get those feet moving and skedaddle. You've got... I think it's just what Adam said. You have... When could that ever be a normal situation for someone to be in a room with two people screaming at each other? My family does the same thing. They're all histrionic. And I guess you could count me in that too. But... It has never once made me comfortable to watch and to be around for it because it isn't comfortable. It's not something that should ever feel regular and normal. I think the problem is that you just have to have a different relationship to it. And I think the boundary you draw is you leave. I mean, truly just like get in your car and go somewhere, take a walk, do whatever it is. You don't have to be around for that though.
She doesn't want to miss the drama.
Mm-hmm. That could be it too. Listen, I love watching Housewives as much as the next person.
Yeah. She doesn't.
And it's fun to
this
see
family,
two-
they fight all the time and they relive it all the time. But so everybody's judge and jury in this family. So if she leaves for the argument, she doesn't get to participate in the postscript to the argument.
Well, here's the difference. Arguments are fun to watch when people are hurling insults that like you think they both deserve. You know what I mean? But you don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
They're less fun when it is like mean and toxic and you feel like you're next on the list. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't understand why she can't leave and then come back and get a recap later. That sounds just as fun.
Or just
because
be like a
peeping
Tom.
There's too many people involved. So then they say, well, who was right? and who was wrong. And she said this, and then mom said that, and then I said this, and that. This is just like the housewives. Why it's always annoying where they have side conversations, because you just want them all to fight about, they never talk about what they're talking about, and it drives you crazy, because you just want them to have the actual fight.
At my place in LA, every week, there is a couple who lives like across the street that I can hear from my place. They're constantly fighting about whether he thinks she's a good writer, because she doesn't think that he thinks that. I mean, I was screaming at each other about this.
What it's are so you talking about?
It's so crazy. She's like, you don't appreciate my work and you lie to me about how good of a writer I am. I mean, it is wild. And they do this every week.
And everyone can hear them.
Oh, yeah.
In Los Angeles.
And they're not even that close to me, like proximity-wise. Mm. Everyone can hear them. But here's the thing. I wouldn't want to be in that room, but I love that I can hear it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't remove yourself. Exactly. Because then it's a little more fun, because you're not, it's sort of like, you know, I'm only thinking of this because it was on Housewives recently, where like someone's screaming in another room and they're all hiding. All the other friends are hiding in another room, but they still want to hear what's going on. They just don't want to be in the way.
That is fun. Yeah, that is fun.
There is a thrill to that. Because you're safe, but you can still hear exactly
being
what's going on.
Being a voyeur.
Exactly.
She needs to be a little less sensitive. It seems like she wants to. She wants to enjoy the argument, but she feels bad about her sister feeling bad.
Here's
the
problem.
You have to decide which way you want it.
Here's the real problem. This is living in her body. That's what I was going to say. The problem is that she has to figure out how to get this physical trigger out of her body, which is that when people argue around her, it upsets her. Her somatic system, her nervous system she is triggered by this. And so she's still having, even though she has rationalized in her adult brain how she feels about it, which is that she can see that all's well that ends well. These are loud Italian people that fight with each other. And in the end, when you're a child, this is like the cruelest thing you can say to a child. Well, there's probably a lot of cruel things, but a very cruel thing you can say is your father and I are getting divorced, or whatever it is. I'm leaving. I've had enough of this. I'm walking out on this family, because that's how you feel in that moment. But a child does not know, at least the first six times, that that is just you saying what you need to say in the moment. And that is not the reality of their world. And so this girl is still triggered by the feeling that this whole family feels threatened by these arguments, which really isn't the case. I'm not sure why she hasn't gotten the message until now. I mean, usually when you do grow up in a big home, you realize that the pattern sort of establishes itself and you sort of think, ah. But whatever the reason is, you're sensitive. You say you're the shy one. This is not what you handle well. It's not, and that's okay. You don't have to be just like them and be confrontational and everything else. But you do have to figure out how to manage that stress response. And I don't know if that's something worth discussing with your therapist, or even looking into maybe EMDR. Is that what they call it, Brian? Do you know?
I have heard of that, but I think that's right. EMDR.
EDMR.
Yeah.
That is something that people say is very successful for sort of reprogramming a physical response to some kind of trauma. And I'm not saying that this is the world's largest trauma that your family fights all the time, but it's somehow or other, you are having a traumatic experience over and over and over again. And I think, of course, removing yourself from the situation will be helpful. That's great advice from both of our fellas here, which is, if you don't think you can handle it, don't stick around for it, basically. But I think it's worth just trying to tune in to why you're having a physical response to this and trying to reprogram that a little bit.
Great point.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't know what these fights are about.
They're about nothing. You don't love me.
Like,
you don't love me. I'm not your favorite. That's what the fight
is. Totally.
It's not affecting anybody negatively except the letter writer. She's feeling bad about these fights. And I don't think anybody else in the family.
These fights are truly like, why did you look at me like that? And then it's a whole thing. You know what I mean? It's nothing.
Yeah. And 30 minutes later, they've completely forgotten it. And this letter writer is alone feeling bad.
But something happened between her and her sister, or to her and her sister together, or something. Why does she feel fused to her sister's emotional happiness? Why does she, who doesn't engage, her sister's like a cat. She doesn't mind. She'll have a scratch and get right back on it. I mean, her sister loves confrontation. She thrives on it. Why? She's not just saying, I don't enjoy this. She's saying, I feel responsible for my sister's feelings. So what is that about? That is the thing that you need to go unpack with a therapist somewhere and figure out where that came from and try to untie it and leave it untied. Because your sister is a grown woman who walks into every situation. What we talked about this, Brian, what was the question we had? Oh, about the lesbian with the sister. I think it was on Patreon.
Okay.
The lesbian had a kid, Skipper, the kid sister, Skipper.
Oh, yes.
Who Adam, was are just... you in the carriage house?
Oh, of course. Since day one.
So do you remember Skipper? Are you caught up?
Yes.
So the
she
lesbian,
was taking over. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The two lesbians had a nice relationship. Everything was perfect except for the part when the Cat in the Hat showed up and the older sister said, come right in and make yourself comfortable.
Yes.
And for some reason, they were fused. And it seemed to have to do with her addiction that the sister had cared for her while she was, you know, in recovery, and that she felt that she owed her something. That was our take on it. But there's some reason here that you feel responsible for your sister's emotions, and you've got to find a way not to, or else the rest of your life is going to be very unsatisfactory.
Especially when your sister doesn't feel responsible for her own emotions.
Guess like, who else's
why
emotions
should you she take that
feel
on?
Responsible
She's not.
For? Every person in her wake, she goes in and throws a grenade into every room that she
totally.
Comes into, and she doesn't care who gets hit by the shrapnel. She really doesn't.
By the way, what I...
She does
no,
it because she feels better afterwards. It's a release. Why doesn't
totally.
She go for a run instead of driving everybody crazy? But this yeah. is also how
noticed,
these people communicate. This is how her mother talks to her. This is how the father talks to the mother like that. And the mother likes to be a victim. And this is, it's old fashioned. And this is, you know, there's some cyclical behavior going on here that you're not comfortable with. And kudos to you. You don't have to participate in it. But
definitely not. And by the way,
she
they
wants to participate though.
Well,
I feel like
that's how she feels close to them because
she's the
she's
black
shy.
Sheep. She said that she's the shy one. And I think maybe in a sort of a weird, sick way, the way this family shows love is by screaming and being passionate and
yes.
then, you know, forgetting it. And there might be a part of her that's like, well, how come nobody's screaming at me? Why am I not fighting? You know, and maybe she's feeling a little bit left out of this. Of this weird
I think that's very
dynamic.
Astute because I think that even by observing, though, she's a participant. She is an introvert, and they drag her out. So the sisters. So that's interesting, though, Adam. Maybe she's having some sort of a vicarious experience with the sister, and that is why her emotions feel tied to her sister.
Yeah,
which
it
is
seems
that
like
the
she
sister
wants to
fights
be...
for everybody, basically.
She wants to be in the fight, but she knows that she can't handle it emotionally.
Yeah.
And so that's bringing up some bad feelings. So she either needs to remove herself from the situation or start screaming along with her sister and mother.
But removing herself from the situation makes her feel even more like a black sheep because she doesn't have this fighting in her DNA. And so so by observing the fighting, she at least feels like she's part of the conversation and the narrative when people talk about it later.
Right.
Whereas if she was sort of doing the healthy Connecticut thing to do, which would be to remove yourself from the room,
sure.
she is then even further, her fear is that she is then further alienating herself from the people that she already doesn't feel related to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The short answer is you have to discuss this with your therapist and get to the bottom of it. And you've got to cease to be so intertwined with your sister. You have to find a way to understand that there is a point at which your body ends and hers begins, and her feelings are her feelings and yours are yours.
Yeah, she can't help her sister. She can't change her sister because her sister is perfectly happy doing what she's doing.
Yeah. Brian, dear.
You ready for the next one?
You better believe it.
Dear, this is a good intro. Dear Ronna and Brian, plus tender touched guest.
What does it mean?
Sounds I don't really know what that means.
Creepy
to
me.
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
You're tender touched, Adam.
Ugh, I guess so.
Applying the word tender to our guest, well, I don't like it at all.
Tender.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Dirty. I love the word tender. I'm very tender.
Tender steak.
What do you do?
What else is tender? Legal.
What are you
tender.
Looking for? Someone tender?
I'm maybe tender touch means rich in this case. It's accurate because he's got 30,000 Patreons.
Tender. Legal
touched.
Tender.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you both for your continued wisdom on all things fabulous. I'm a gay cis male and have a group of gay cis male friends, two of which never make time for me to hang out with them one-on-one.
Do you two identify as gay cis males?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
We've been friends for 7 years, going to birthdays and playing weekly board games during the pandemic. And they're down to hang anytime as long as it's at a friend's home within a group of 4 or 5, but never one-on-one. Okay. You may think that I'm intense. Wow. No, I didn't go there.
I do because you mentioned it.
Yeah, me too. What are you hiding already? You may think that I'm intense, but they even initiate texts of, what are you doing tonight? Or calls about, how can we organize a good friend's birthday? Not to mention firsthand experiences with them saying, both sober and unsober, that they love me while embracing me. Am I too intense? We're in a close-knit group with 5, and I'm very close to the other two. We hang out one-on-one, no problem, but I guess I'd like the approval, oh boy, of these two others to accept me into their one-on-one close encounters of the third kind level of friendship. Mm-hmm. One-on-one close encounters of the third kind level of friendship. We have great chemistry and get along, which has kept us as pals for almost the last decade. I'd love to hear you both speak about the value of one-on-one relationships, which I prefer and would like with these two, and give me advice on how to deal with or strive to connect with becoming closer to a friend that way. They both are in long-term relationships and their primary partner is central to their time spent. But I also hear stories from them about how they make time for one-on-ones with others. Love you both. Party of 5.
Needy, I mean, look, needy, needy.
You clearly, and I'm just going to say it.
Not nice,
I guess,
Ron,
you are too intense. I guess you are too intense. It didn't read that way, but you kept saying it. So I don't know what's going on. But I will say this. I didn't at any point hear you say that you have invited them out one-on-one to do something and that they have said no. I didn't hear you say, I invited Michael to come out with me for dinner and he wouldn't. Or I invited Seth to come out with me to dinner and he wouldn't. Or whatever. I invited so-and-so to get a drink with me and he wouldn't one-on-one. I didn't hear you say that. And I guess, like, if you have not made that effort, it might be worth looking into making that effort, A. But B, you don't have to be close friends with 5 people in that way. The fact that you are very close friends with 2 people one-on-one is great. I mean, I think it's odd for someone to have a big group of best friends. You know what I mean? Like, you really only connect with a few people on that level in your life, I think, you know, at a time.
Just maybe. Hearing about this sounds horrible to me.
It really does.
One-on-ones.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I do have to say that there can be a thing with, like, gay cis male friendships in groups that can feel very teenage because you've been so stunted from being able to express those friendships before, or at least in some cases, growing up. Like, I don't know, my mom was, like, very aware if I was ever hanging out with anyone who's, like, even slightly effeminate or anyone she would perceive as that, that, like, there can be a thing of, oh, I didn't really know who I was before. Now I know who I am. I've been working out. I have this great body. I'm a mean girl all of a sudden, and I get to sort of pick and choose who I want to hang out with. That is a thing that exists.
Honestly, that sounds
stunted.
Quite lovely to me. If what you're saying is, if a more tender way to put that, Brian, is to say that you get to relive your adolescence a little bit. It, because you didn't get to do it at the time because you were either worried about what people thought of you, worried about what your parents, there wasn't a space in your,
it's hard to have honest, literally. Close friendships.
It wasn't a basement that you could all hang out in. And you also, you were willing to admit who you were, but someone else wasn't, or they didn't know who they were yet, or whatever it is. But that a lot of people miss that experience, which it's, mm-hmm. and a lot of people in college miss that experience too, which was how lovely for you that you have five wonderful male friends in your 20s or 30s. I mean, like your Palm Springs group or whatever it is that you can, and I'm talking about this guy having the five friends. Brian has 500 friends, but that you can go and have these nice little clusters and hang out and have those wonderful conversations, experiences, fun, cook, board games, whatever it is that you didn't get to have before. I mean, yeah. Anyone in life is lucky to have that at any stage, but
I know the fact that you have a solid group of friends is pretty fantastic.
I think this one-on-one business is overrated. This has something to do totally. With you in your own, how you perceive your value and self-worth to other people. You are waiting for other people to tell you what you are worth. And if you can't get people trying to pin you down for a one-on-one, you think it means you're not worth something to them. And maybe what you're worth is exactly this lovely thing that you described to us, which is a terrific friend to hang out with in this group, to cook, to do games, to go to bars or go on vacation or whatever people do. How lovely. But
and by the way, these people, you say these people sober or not sober tell you how much they love you. That means that they mean it, you know? They do love you and they love being with you, but
yes, but yeah. Your rules of engagement are getting caught up with your own self-esteem. And what you really need to do is take a step back and say, how lucky am I to have this? And then I feel exactly the same way about these people, but I don't need to sit down and say, tell me the name of every person you work with. Oh, tell me about what happened to you when you were eight, or, you know, some people only have one or two truly close friends that know their sort of inner core. And then you're very lucky to have these other concentric circles of friendship, and that you take something wonderful from those friendships, or you would absolutely be there for these people if you needed them, and vice versa. But that you don't want to spend every day. It's sort of an immature thing to spend. You sort of put that time in when you're either in your teens or your 20s or even in your early 30s, to be known by other people. And then that sort of sustains you for the rest of your life, where you think, oh, that was my friend. That's why my one friend from college who I love, blank, knows me better than anyone else, because they knew you at various stages of your life, et cetera, et cetera. They don't really want that relationship with you. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. They've told you they do. But everyone doesn't have to do everything on your terms.
This person needs to recontextualize these friendships for the good thing that they are. It's this good group of friends, and maybe that's all these people are going to be, and that's fine. Like, they can be part of this really good friend group that you have. I have some friends who I wish I was closer with, and they just, it's not going to happen. And that's,
it's not going to happen.
That's okay. I still love them. I cherish them. And whenever I get to see them in a friend group, it's wonderful.
And then you have Stephanie Rossi.
Yeah. Kristen Rossi.
Kristen Rossi.
Yeah. And like, she's my best friend. I'm not her best friend. And that's fine. It's
well, who is?
Well, she has,
oh my God.
Her best friend is, she has a friend from kindergarten, and like, I can't compete with that, and I wouldn't want to. And I could dwell on the fact that she's never going to be my best friend, or I could.
Oh, Kristen, you better take notes, honey. This is not being said casually.
It's
prick up your ears.
I could dwell on the fact that, you know, we're not best friends.
Or you are best. She is your best friend.
Yes.
You are.
You're just not her best friend.
Maybe you're just not her oldest friend.
That's true. Like, it's we're past the age where, you know, best friends are a thing. Like, you can have different best friends, and I'm certainly one of her best friends.
You're very close.
Well,
friends.
We don't know that. Mm-hmm. We don't actually know.
I guess we don't know that.
Yeah. Brian, text Kristen, find out what the real story is. But the
I will.
Yes, I think that it's a juvenile worldview. And I think, but the thing that really worries me, I mean, we're being a little hard on you, but the thing that really worries me is you're actually being quite hard on yourself, which is that you are putting so much stock in the whims of these people who, for all we know, you know, security guards that work at night that don't have time to have dinner with you. I mean, I don't know, or have someone in their family that's not well, or just got a new dog, or, you know, they don't have time for whatever.
And
this day to day,
people can't talk to that many people in a day, you know, and be, and do that sort of thing. And it takes
how
a long time to get casual with people.
How wonderful that you're close friends with them and that you have this wonderful social life.
And that two of them, you do hang out with one-on-one. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Some people do not have the social stamina to have that many one-on-one relationships.
I love that phrase, social stamina. You're absolutely right.
Like, solo relationships feels exhausting to
no,
me.
No, I'm ready to go to bed just thinking about it. I have Brian, and that's all I need in my whole life.
I've got my Rana. I have three people that, like, I can just text with when I need to and call when I need to and... Rana, Stephanie, my friend Jesse in New York. Those are sort of the three. And
no,
it's
I'm
I feel very
really,
lucky for
I'm
it.
I'm not really on that short list.
Yes,
but
you
he
are.
He has to say that because of the show and it's
that's
contractual
not true. You are
and absolutely contractual. And there's, you know, the issues with HR that we're not really getting into right now.
Oh, well, that
and,
actually that, is true, Rana.
So, but it's true.
But I've been able, and what you also need to do, this is just advice for other people, separate how you feel about someone in a professional way, which for me is bad blood, and how you feel about them personally. I happen to love Rana personally, but working together,
not crazy
I have a
about
lot
her.
Of issues. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That.
No, they're going to get resolved because I sent all those emails, Rana.
Oh, yeah. HR. HR at AskRana.com. Way to,
yeah, so they're going to get resolved.
They're in the queue. That. They're in the queue.
Yeah.
But it's true. It sounds like you're very fortunate to have a lot of very nice friends. Why don't you focus on that instead of focusing how you're not enough for everybody to want to spend one-on-one with you? Life gets in the way, dear. You have to understand that as we get older, even when you have a terrific partner, I mean, then your social stamina, as Adam says, which is a terrific phrase.
Plummets.
It gets even smaller because then you're spending, you have to go home to this person and ask them how their day was. Guess what else I don't want to do? Ask you how your day was.
Yeah.
So I don't need to hear it twice. I already had to think about how my day was.
I'm tired of talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes some people just don't really do well in one-on-one situations like that. They need a social buffer. They need, you know, a friend group to really shine. And that doesn't say anything about the letter writer. It doesn't mean he's intense. It just means that maybe these people, you know, can't really do those one-on-one situations as well.
Yeah, this probably has nothing to do with you.
Stop trying to bend the universe to your will. Accept it the way that it is and be very grateful for what you have is what I would say. Brian, it's that time.
Adam, boy, are you lucky because you get to be one of three people to decide who gets a gift this week. I'm sure you're familiar with this process. We do a quick recap of the questions, and then Rana and I send something nice to whoever we think, I don't want to say deserves it, but you say it, Rana, whoever we like, whoever we take
a feeling
to.
For. And I'll tell you what the gift is this week.
Okay.
Well, it could be one of two things. It could either be 2,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies from Phoebe.
Okay. It's pretty good.
Or 10, whatever it is, 10 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Or Brian gave to me for my birthday the most delicious chocolate
you're giving away
orange peel.
Oh, I thought you were going to give those away. Okay.
And I'm tempted to send that to someone, especially
but not
in
the
light-
ones I sent you. You're not regifting those.
Well, I've had enough of them. But the so I'm going to send half a box of half-eaten Toysha orange peels. No, they're absolutely scrumptious, if you don't mind
I'm so
my
glad.
Saying. And they're and with all this romance and having sex all over Europe and Southeast Asia that came on the podcast today, this is just a lovely. It's a absolute feast for the nose, the mouth, the senses. It's a beautiful little cup of coffee in the morning, of course, and Ask Rana coffee is what I recommend. But they are just absolutely gorgeous. And I would consider sending those to them if we think this person really deserves it. But let's see who's
I'm so glad you enjoyed them.
Got a feeling for gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, a sensual pleasure.
Adam.
I'm going to send some to Adam now that I talked about them.
I love this.
Yeah. If he'll share Adam. His address with me, I don't know. Oh. He may not want the ghost to be able to find him in his new place.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
No, yeah. I'll send you all my information, whatever you want. Send you my birth certificate.
Adam, are we going to give this to the French lover, the mm-hmm. woman who wrote in?
Yeah.
Are we going to give this to the shy one in the family? Or are we going to give this to the person struggling in one-on-one friendships?
Oh, gosh, that's hard. Because I feel like the shy one could use them either as a sort of a bargaining chip or a, you know, even just some snack to watch the show. And also the person who wants these one-on-one relationships, it could be a way to, you know, do you want to come over and eat some?
No,
some of
we're
this
not
delicious...
facilitating.
Oh, that's
all
right.
You
know how that
this
Adam,
guy has
you.
Tried, and everyone has said no, thank you, Adam, and he has to accept that on some level.
You're right. So I think
he can
I'm going
to
go with the shy
one. He can bring
whatever
he wants to game night. He goes to game night all the time. He has plans all the time. This guy. He just wants one-on-one plans with people.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my answer is the shy one. Then it sounds like she needs it.
Brian, do you vote for the shy one as well?
I think so, but I'm actually dying to hear what you're going
to
say.
I think Brian is tempted to send it to the lovers and to tell them to feast on this love as long as it to chase this dragon as long as it'll let you until it hides down an alley and poof, it's gone. That's what I think.
I am very tempted to do that. And I'll tell you also why. And this is a little bit of Rana in me. Uh-huh. This is when I know I've had a Rana infusion this morning. Uh-huh. Rana, I'm going to say it and we can cut it. Rana needs people to take a little bit of personal responsibility and gut up every now and then. And the shy one and the one-on-one relationships are not helping themselves right now.
It's
I mean,
true.
They will be. But I feel like Rana would have a problem giving it to one of those two. And I could be dead wrong, and we can cut that because I don't
know. No, I'm happy to switch my vote. I
you don't have to switch your vote. You can get outvoted here. That's the thing.
But I want to, I'd rather switch my vote than be outvoted. I don't want to be left
but
out.
But don't you wish, Adam, don't you wish that you could be a part of this fantasy in France?
He wants a one-on-one. He wants a two-on-one with the people in Malaysia is what he wants.
But all the lovers say is like, oh, and then there was the night we got those child. I'll never forget. She'll be 95 years old.
We want to be part of the story. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Talking to her nurse, like in the notebook. Yeah. And saying, and then I got a box of chocolates.
We want to be part of the story. It's true. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to send the Toishas to a friend in Southeast Asia. Because I agree. Let's all be part of that story. Why not? Why shan't we be?
Well, I don't know who's
going to
get
story.
Them there, Rana. I'm not going over there right now.
Well, we'll send Tony.
They won't even let you in.
We'll figure it out. Okay. But we are going to send something to the shy one. Because I think the shy one has something deeper that she needs to explore. And I want to encourage her.
Right.
And so we're going to
send
her.
By the way, this is a familiar problem, the shy one, just so you know. There's no shame in this game.
But we're going to send her some Girl Scout cookies from Phoebe, because then we're going to kill two birds with one stone.
Great. That's a fun
snack. And we're
going to,
and we ask Ron is going to make a donation. I just want to remind everyone to Michael Erdbrink's Polar Plunge.
Yes.
So people will be able to find our link. We didn't tell Adam about this because he wasn't with us, but Emma, who edits our podcast, her brother is a Special Olympian, and every year he does a polar plunge. And because of the pandemic, he hasn't been able to do it with his friends. So they're doing it wherever they are. They're doing it in Kennebunkport, Maine. And this kid is so adorable. You can't stand it. You can see him on Emma's Instagram, Emma Tree.
Who
we follow. We only follow about six people. So if they're trying to find her, they'll be able to find her that way.
True.
And in any event, so we're going to do a donation there too. Okay, so then we figured it out then. Now the question is Adam going to stay for the cliffhanger? And I think we all know the answer is yes.
Of course, I have literally nothing else to do.
Come on.
I don't believe that either.
You have nothing else to, you are the absolute busiest person that ever lived.
I was going to say, you're clearly incredibly prolific.
I made sure my partner left the entire apartment so he wouldn't be here to bother me. I'm here for you and you alone.
I have to say, I don't know how you get it all done. Do you work all? You seem to me to be the busiest, most prolific person.
Same.
The answer is no. I feel like I don't actually work as hard as it seems.
Could you possibly produce that much content that only comes out of your brain and your fingertips?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe if you worked a little harder, Adam, you would be Kristen's best friend. Did you ever think of that?
That's true. That's how I'm going to fill the remaining hours of the day.
And I do have a question.
About that.
After we end this podcast, are you going to weep or pleasure yourself?
Both.
Good.
My question to you is, what's the breakfast that you get from your local coffee shop that you take home to heat up?
They have this little egg white wrap that I get. I'm not a big breakfast eater. So I usually try to keep it small, and then I just go absolutely nuts at dinner time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm the same
way. Do you cook or do you order, or what's a chicken and biscuits? What are we eating?
No.
Chicken and biscuits.
I don't cook.
What's going nuts at dinner time? That's my question.
Yeah.
I always order dinner. I never make dinner for
You're
myself.
You're a true New Yorker.
Fruit
Loops French toast.
No, it's always DoorDash, and there's always an appetizer and a main course and a dessert. So
excuse me.
Singapore noodles.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have a good Singapore noodle place?
I don't. There is a place that I order Singapore noodles from, but it's only about a B, so I don't want to suggest it.
I love
which app do you use for delivery, or do you call straight to the restaurant? And I know that sounds like a boring question, but I'm genuinely curious.
I use DoorDash or Caviar, which are now the same thing for the most part.
Yeah.
But there are some good restaurants on Caviar that aren't on the DoorDash app.
Yeah.
What's your top restaurant right now in Brooklyn? Where are you loving eating from in
Brooklyn?
What's
the dish you can't get enough of, baby?
Yes. This is your Grub Street.
It sounds like nothing, but there's this Thai restaurant. I'm not sure where it is.
I was getting an Asian noodle vibe from you. I can't explain it.
It's called One More Charm. It's Thai food, and they also have bubble tea, and it sounds like it would be nothing. But it's the best Thai food I've ever had. And I've been to Thailand and it's better than most of the stuff I eat.
Wow. What northern or southern Thailand? Food.
Gosh, Rana.
Northern has more curries.
Right. I wanna say it's both. They have a really extensive
Midwestern
menu.
One More Charm. What a cute name.
I know.
We're gonna celebrate.
One More Charm.
Charm. We're gonna celebrate.
One more jam. That song has lasted forever.
No kidding.
That song was almost popular when I was young. Okay. Shall we read our cliffhanger?
I would love to, Ronner. Yes. I think you're reading it, Ronner.
And Adam, before we go, tell people what your Patreon is and what your Instagram is. Not like you need the help.
My Instagram is Adam Tots, like tater tots.
Cute.
And if you follow me there, you'll stay abreast of everything I'm doing. Patreon is the same thing. It's Adam Tots. It's technically not safe for work, so you can't search it. You have to get a link for it.
They haven't caught us yet on not safe for work. This show couldn't be less safe for work, if you ask me. But
I think it's safe for work, Rana.
Okay, fap.
Certain types of work.
Sex True. Work, exactly. Dear right. Ronna, normalize sex work, normalize Patreon.
Thank you.
Dear Ronna Bryant, an honored guest. Know you. This person's an American. Your podcast is a sheer delight, and I'm so pleased to have you both in my life for an hour each week. This is sort of a long letter, so okay.
Okay, buckle
plus up. Brian for another hour because attitudes, and hopefully a third hour soon for groceries. Five stars, five stars, five stars. My issue. By the way, I just want to say something right now. Attitudes was not following Ask Rana on Twitter.
I love that you think I have anything to do with
they
that.
They only followed us yesterday. And Paul F. Tompkins, the exact same thing happened to him. And he wrote a sassy reply. He captioned it and wrote back and said something about why was today the day that they finally decided to follow him back. And they said, listen, they put a funny gif that said, just catching up. It was very funny.
Good.
So whoever's doing it is doing a funny job, but it cracked me up that Paul
Showtime Chamaco, Sergio Lopez, shout out, baby. We love
you.
Oh,
Showtime.
Yeah.
Fabulous. But it was very cute. The gift was very cute. I have been estranged from my brother. Let's call him Jeremy for the last 7-ish years. There's only a year's age difference between us. We're both mid-30s now for context. And before he excised me from his life, nice usage. We were that means cut out. We were extremely close.
Sure, exercised, yeah.
It's tough to convey. Well, I've been watching a lot of Mary catching up on Real. I forgot to say on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And she keeps using the wrong word. And instead of saying wallowed today, she said, I don't wobble in it, instead of wallowing in it. So anyway.
Listen, wobble's a sexy word.
She doesn't wobble in it. It's tough to convey the full shape of this without a long backstory, but here is my most succinct summation. He'd completely stopped talking to my mother after he felt she was not supportive enough of him during a hard breakup. I felt that he was being unfair to her, but kept my mouth shut about it, partly because he was going through a tough time, but primarily because I knew this was how he dealt with people. If you cross him, there's no confrontation. You're just dead to him. He had done it to me in the past, but for relatively short periods of time. Not wanting to go through that again, it's painful. I didn't plead my mother's case or try to get involved. That changed slightly after one of my mother's sisters passed away. That's called an aunt. When he called to ask me about a funeral, I suggested he may want to speak with our mother before showing up to our aunt's memorial service. It had been almost 2 years since he had last spoken to my mom, and I didn't think dealing with her sister's untimely passing while being ignored by her estranged son sounded great for her. Good for you, caretaker. The suggestion that he tell her personally if he was planning on attending the memorial was the thing that kicked off these years of estrangement. Wait a minute, what? The suggestion that he tell her personally. Oh, so you put your nose in and then he told you to butt out, I guess. Quick side story. When I called him, crying and apparently somewhat unintelligible to say that our aunt had died, he misheard me, oh boy, and thought I said, Mom died. He spent the afternoon believing that to be the case until he saw something on social media that cleared it up. So, in all caps, he believed his mother had died. And once he realized she was alive, he didn't bother trying to reconcile. Does my use of all caps convey the sense that I think there might be something very wrong with him emotionally? I hope so.
Well, the fact that he didn't call anyone or text anyone when he to verify it.
Yeah.
Mom died. That's all I need.
Yeah. Since that time, my mom made some overtures and they've built back a relationship so much that he currently lives with her, side eye. Now here comes the crux of my issue. She wants me to reconcile with him or at least relent to being around him. For a little while, it seemed like maybe things between us were moving in a chilly but civil direction. I have been around him occasionally for family events. He came to my wedding, invited very much at my mom's insistence, and he didn't talk to me the entire time. Does that qualify as civil? I don't know. But after I had a baby last year, and he didn't say or do anything to recognize that fact, I'm not interested in ever being in the same room. Turns out it's simply too hurtful to be treated like I don't exist by someone I used to consider my best friend. I think because people in my family understand that if they push too hard on Jeremy, he'll simply cut them out, they're relying on me to be the reasonable one. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one thing that will resolve the situation, and it's acknowledgement and apology from him. He will freeze over first. My mom has indicated how unlikely she thinks an apology is, but it is still becoming more and more insistent that we must eventually end this estrangement. We has an exclamation point after it. Oh, sorry. That we, I, must eventually end this estrangement. I feel that I'm being put in a really unfair position. It was confronting Jeremy about my mom's feelings that even put me in this situation to begin with. As a mom now myself, I get why she felt the need to reconcile with Jeremy, and I'm not begrudging her that. But I do resent being asked to swallow all the hurt he caused me and just get over it. I guess ultimately my question is, how do I maintain the boundaries I need between Jeremy and myself without damaging my relationship with my mom? I also dearly wish we could all be a family again. But it's kind of like the BTK killer's kids wishing he didn't kill all those people.
Jeez.
Is it? In what way, dear? It's just not the reality. We're living it. That's the way. The thought of Jeremy being an uncle to my son is appalling and probably the thing my mom is holding out the most hope for. I know this was too long. I'm sorry. Love you both. Jay.
Patreon.com/AskRana. We'll answer that and more.
With
head over to the Carriage
with
House.
Cliffhangers like that, how do we not have 30,000 followers? That's my question.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start drawing comics, Rana.
Definitely. Let's add that.
They're
to
not going
to
be good. Yeah, no, they're not going to be good, though. Yeah.
Adam, dear, it was so lovely to spend some time
with you. It really was. You're fabulous.
He has been such a supporter of this show from the very beginning. He is every now and again, we'll get a cute DM where he tells us what's going on, that he bought something on the Ronica list and how it's going.
Oh, that makes
I love
me so
it.
Happy.
I always love seeing you pop up in an inbox.
If I sent you a message every single time I wanted to, it would be unbearable. So
you'd be Ajahn Kvasnikov.
I would, and I'm trying really hard to
that is a slippery
a
slope to me.
You should
Ajahn and I
you
have such
not,
a history.
Well, it's fine. That is explosive. It's combustible.
Adam, we should keep our relationship uncomplicated.
Adam, you can write to us anytime you want. I love hearing from you. I love your thoughts. I love
Adam,
your links.
Like,
I like
fabulous.
Everything about you. And I like your best friend,
artist.
Now that the floodgates are open, I'll be DMing
you.
You're
my best friend, but Kristen is not my best friend.
Any friend of Kristen's is a friend of mine.
But
any
not your
best friend of Kristen's is a best friend of mine. So unfortunately, you don't quite feel that.
Okay. I accept that. I will not try to make you something that you're not interested in.
I'm only interested, Adam. I think you're brilliant.
You're absolutely wonderful. We loved having you at the Carriage House. Join us, everyone, February 12th. We're doing the Carriage House Lonely Hearts Valentine's Live. The link, askronalive.com. And we can't wait. And tinyurl.phoebecookies. And go to Emma Tree.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I did buy 15 boxes of Phoebe cookies. And I do want credit for that.
15 boxes. And 15 are you boxes. Expecting her to deliver them in person? Or did you have them shipped
no,
to you?
They were already delivered. It only took a couple days. And about halfway through them.
Fabulous. Adam, I hope you're being accurate with your story. Because Rana does go back and check.
I
she
absolutely checked the cookie counter.
She
and
noticed
I had
Scarlett
to...
Curtis had not quite ordered yet, and she shouted that
out. Scarlett Curtis claimed to order them on the show. So,
oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. If she doesn't want that kind of reputation, she's going to have to follow.
No, I did. It's accurate. I did buy that many, and I'm going to buy more because I didn't get the kinds that I wanted to.
You didn't get the Adventurefuls?
I did. I didn't like them as much as I was hoping.
I'm with
four
you.
Boxes of Adventure
they
Fools.
They weren't my faves.
They're not for me.
What about
so
the tag-alongs? Did you get those?
I don't. Oh, I God, don't. Yes. I've had those before. They're not my favorite.
So what
I really
you
liked,
get that you wanted?
I got the s'mores, which I liked more than I thought. So I need to get some
get
more of those.
Oh, I never get the s'mores. Yeah.
And my favorite actually is the Toffee-tastic, the gluten-free ones, which
really?
Is...
Oh, I've never tasted those. Maybe I'll order some more.
They're you know
now I have to order again.
They're like a I do lean toward like a dry English tea cookie.
Oh yeah, you like a snickerdoodle.
Yeah, and they're
the short
they're good.
Bread.
They're
the short bready.
Yes, they're like
all I know is Sandy cookie. You should send those send them to Stephanie Bryan. If they're Sandy, she'll like them.
They're a little dusty.
All I know is
I like them.
She likes a dusty Sandy cake.
You know what, Rana? That's enough with that. All I can say is this. Those Girl Scout cookies came into this house, and it was a weekend of 13 Monkeys / American Horror Story Season 2 in here. I mean, I really went through every emotion. Like, I was locked in a cage.
Every box and every emotion.
Every single one, Rana.
Congratulations.
Most, like, three of the boxes I chewed and then spit up. Not vomited, but just spit them out. Because I just couldn't stop. I needed it, you know?
All right, you too. Anyway, let's end on that high note, shall we?
I would love to, Rana.
Kiss, kiss.
Bye.